And his commands are what they are, and you need to go by them. Refusing to go by them with the justification, the excuse that, but we can't do this, this'll happen, this'll shut down, that'll shut down. Anything other than what God has said, any explanation outside of what God has, if somebody says, well, in normal circumstances, that's what God says to do. In these conditions, God says for us to do something else. And here's the reference. Here's the verse. Here are the ahadith. We'll look at them, say, okay, if God said whatever he says, that's fine. But it's never that. It's just this assumption that, well, I need to protect myself. That's shirk. That's shirk. God protects. Inna Allaha yudafi'u 'anil ladhina amanu. Wallahu khayrun hafizan wa huwa arhamur rahimin. We're in a circle, a gathering, believers there. One brother mentioned that they have officially said, these think tanks, that for Iraq, the only way forward for the United States is to take out Atlas Sistani and al-Hashd al-Sha'bi. And they were saying, well, you know, this is worrisome and so on and so forth. What's going to happen? Wallahu khayrun hafizan wa huwa arhamur rahimin. God is the one that has protected his religion despite all odds and whatever conditions there has been. Whoever he needed, he wanted to protect and protect his religion through, he has protected. He gave the Imam of our time over 1,000 years, over, I think now it's approaching 1,100 or 1,200 years. If he wants to preserve Islam through a person, he will preserve Islam through that person. If he wants to preserve Islam without that person, he will preserve Islam without that person.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
راحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Brother Sajjad Hida. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Sajjad Hida, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you very much for accepting my invitation to the program Viewpoints. And for today's discussion, we want to talk about the influence and the role of the late Imam Khomeini in reviving the authentic and pure messages of Islam in the modern world. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, how did you find the role of Imam Khomeini in, we can say, reviving the true messages of Islam, especially in the modern world?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, after the demise of the Prophet and the issues that we see in the history that happened with the Ahlul Bayt, and especially after the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, we can see that this was the first time when someone raised for Islam. And when he talks about Islam, he talks about the pure Muhammadan Islam. And he revived everything that was originally in the Quran. And the proof of this is that when we look at the reporter who asked Imam Khomeini when he was flying from France to Iran, when he was coming back.
Yes.
On the flight, he asked him, like, did you make any constitution for your new country? You're going to have the revolution or rule the country. And his answer was, our constitution has been revealed 1400 years ago, and we had it. It means that he wanted to apply the Quranic teachings, which is common for all Muslims.
But it does not mean that he did not believe in the political constitution.
Yeah.
Because it's, after...
No. The main thing is, the main idea is, politics is within Islam. Mm-hmm. We cannot separate politics from Islam.
Okay.
You know, the way we cannot separate ourselves from the soul. It is one. Islam, when we talk about the Islam, we talk about politics. It's purely one thing. It's not different.
Okay.
And that has been seen in the life of the Prophet. You know, when we talk about politics, what does politics mean? Politics means the policies that are made to run a society or government. And Islam tells us how to run our life, our society and governments.
That's right.
And this is what's said in the Quran. Therefore, we do not see politics something which is separate from the Islam. Because according to the even the definition which has been said for the politics, it is the same. And that is what Islam talks about. Therefore, he sees Islam in the same way. And in all his, we can say like speeches, there were many parts where he talks about the original Islam, going back to the Islam,
yes,
searching for Islam.
Okay.
And the struggle that he has done, the revolution that he has made, it was all in search of Islam and applying the true Muhammadan Islam.
That's right. So, but Brother Sajjad Haidar, what is original Islam that the late Imam Khomeini was after? Because it also attracted the minds of so many non-Shias all across the world too. I mean, the Muslims that were all across the world were looking for a new paradigm or the role model of Islam and reviving the true Islam. But what is this original Islam we are talking about?
Yeah, when we go to the Quranic studies and we want to understand the real theme of Quran, we have two main, foundations. One is related to the individual life and other is related to our social and collective life.
Yes.
And I think these are two foundations which not just our Holy Prophet, but all the prophets in the course of history were working on these two foundations. The first was what is called the ubudiyya, this submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being a servant to him. But this is maybe it will create, I mean, I use the word servant,
when
maybe it will create a confusion for some audience. But that's why I would like to say on this topic that it's actually a submission to Allah, Allah who is the beauty, who is the origin of excellence, who is the origin of the perfection, who is the origin of all the goodness. So the being servant and being having submission to Allah, ubudiyya, is actually a very central word central theme in the self-development, because it's actually about all the intellectual excellences, all the spiritual excellences, all the practical virtues come around this main theme.
Okay.
And the second one, the foundation, which is the al-adala, is the justice.
Yes.
Quran says that in one of its verses, it says that all this system of prophecy, all the sending of prophets and books, for what purpose? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that the people will establish the justice in the society.
That's right.
And these two foundations are very much related to each other.
Okay.
If people do not become, do not live like abd, if they do not become the submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not possible to have justice in the human society.
That's right.
And these two aspects, one is your related to your soul, your character, and second is related to the society.
Yes.
So you may see in the course of history that we had reformists.
Yes.
He has a good intellectual understanding of the ideas, but he's practically not an abd.
Mm-hmm.
He's not himself. He purified himself mm-hmm. in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always there was a defect in one part or another. We have a person who has purified himself, but he don't have that knowledge and capability of implementing the justice in the society. But when we come to Imam al-Khomeini, we said both of these elements, the foundations, are actually on their peak in the personality of Imam Khomeini.
That's right.
When we see his spiritual and his faith related, his personality, he's a kind of a charm in him.
Yes.
He has purified himself. And in the other aspect, you say in the justice related, he actually challenges the imperialistic system of his world and how he is trying to become a voice for oppressed people in the society.
That's right.
So both these are the core messages of Islam, the ubudiyyah, the submission to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the justice.
That's right.
And we see that the whole life of Imam Khomeini is circling around these two foundational ideologies of Islam.
And the Westerners were really shocked at how an old man, an old Ayatollah, as they called him, for example, in the city of Najaf, or even in exile in France, in Turkey, here and there, he was sent into exile by Mohammad Reza Shah, the then king of Iran, how he could lead such a big community of the people inside Islamic, we can say inside Iran on that time. So I think some of these things very, very much is rooted in the miraculous aspects of the heavenly and divinely help and contribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this man. And that is because, as Brother Sajjad Haider said, he was an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his prayers are answered, and then automatically the system is going to be divine. I mean, the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Sayyid Mohsen, there are two important intellectual blocks on that time. From one time, we have this liberal capital side, especially from the side of the U.S. And from the other side, we have these Marxist-communist ideas, especially from the side of Soviet Union. And all of a sudden, this new bloc based on the religion of Islam comes into the scene and attracts so many justice seekers, freedom seekers all across the world. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of the influence of Imam Khomeini.
Well, obviously, when we look at the Imam first, what you have said, that is true, because in the sayings of Imam, we find that in his speeches, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the divine. And if you want to become divine, you need to connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Since you're connected to him, you will become divine. Your actions will become divine.
That's
and
right.
Obviously, the way Allah is all-powerful, and he is unlimited, the same way your actions, your deeds, your living will become divine and unlimited. So that's for that. And that is truly because he was really submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has taught us how to be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is, there was a famous slogan at that time which was given by Imam Khomeini, that was La Sharqiyya wa La Gharbiyya, Bal Jumhuriyya Islamiyya.
Yes.
This is the Arabic terminal because most of the listeners, if they're Muslim, they know Arabic.
Yes.
But in the Persian...
Na Sharqi, Na Gharbi, Jumhuriyya Islamiyya.
In Persian, they say Na Sharqi, Na Gharbi, Jumhuriyya Islamiyya.
Yes.
That neither we follow the West nor
the Eastern one, okay.
But the Islamic Republic. Yes. And that is the only solution for everyone. And the East and West means that neither the liberalism, which is capitalism, yes. nor the socialism, which is
yes.
Marxism.
Yes.
And it is based on the pure Islamic teachings. And we want a republic, which is Islamic Republic. And this was the slogan which was given by Imam. And it became famous. The reason was, as brother has said, obviously the Islam is talking about justice. Islam talks about the rights. And not only the human, but Islam gave respect to the women, to the animals, to the society.
Okay.
And we can see that, you know, there are many places where we have seen that, for example, if even, you know, the revolution in the France, we yeah. saw that when the army came into action against the public also raised guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they also killed some policemen or army
okay.
men. In the other parts of the world, we see the same thing. But when the revolution started in Iran, Imam said that you should not come in front of the army men. These soldiers are your brothers.
Yes.
You know, they're from you. The only point is, the only problem is, they have to listen to the commands of their, you know, the supervisor. So they're under the command. But you can give flowers to them.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we have seen this, you know, there
the pictures,
are many
yes.
pictures and the movies are there that when Imam said so, the people, they took roses and then they used to put that in the guns of the,
yes.
you know, the policemen or the army men.
Okay.
So this was another way of looking at the society, at the revolution. And this is the Islamic way, basically, that when we say Islam is the religion of peace, it's really a religion of peace. Yes, there might be some people who are deviated. Some people are under the force. Some people are basically forced to do something.
Yes.
But this does not give you any kind of legitimacy to, mm-hmm. you know, kill them or fight against them.
Okay.
So you need to do protest, but this protest should be in a way that it is peaceful.
Okay.
And where there is no need of, you know, picking guns and all those, especially when you're doing this in your own country where you want a regime change.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regime change, obviously, you're talking to your brothers, you want your brothers to come back towards
yes.
you who are against you. So this was one of the things. The other thing was that Imam Khomeini in his speeches, and especially at the time of Imam Khomeini, we can see like Shahid Sadr as well.
Yes.
And the other scholars as well, Shahid Mutahhari, Murtaza Mutahhari, and Allama Tabatabai. They philosophically, economically, you know, in the knowledge, like the books of the philosophy, through philosophy, intellectual, they have basically, you know, condemned and criticized both systems. And one thing which we can see, especially in the Arab countries, they were under the liberal system and then they accepted the socialism, the Marxism, and then later they come up like with the idea that these two will not work for us because these are not Islamic, you know, they do not have Islamic basis. But on the other hand, when Imam came, when the Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari and all
yes.
those scholars,
Shahid
came,
Beheshti.
Shahid Beheshti, Allama
yes.
Tabatabai, the book which he has written, like the methodology,
yes,
the methodology of the
realism, yes,
and the principles of philosophy.
That's right.
Obviously, there were like around 14 articles which
yes.
were written, and it was explained by Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari later.
Yes.
So he added footnotes
to
them.
And the preface.
So these things, obviously, these were against the socialism. And clearly it tells about the mentality, how they have, and the liberalism
okay.
as well.
That's right.
So all these things were happening at that time, and mm-hmm. this was the main reason.
So pure Islamic teachings, as you said, like freedom, like justice, we can say, can also be followed by the non-Muslims across the world. That's why maybe so many non-Muslims were attracted to the spiritual message of Imam Khomeini on that time, Brother Sajjadeh.
No doubt that the human excellences and perfection is not about just one denomination.
Mm-hmm.
In its soul, in its essence, Islam is calling us towards the nature It is what Quranic verses even tell us that it's the nature we should return towards.
Okay.
So the no doubt that the personality. Actually, I'll also give, would like to give it a historical context.
Very good.
That after the what is so called the Enlightenment.
Yes.
What is especially what is called the radical Enlightenment.
Yes.
Where the hatred for religion and also the hatred for the system, the ethical system based on virtue. So what I told you, the two foundations of Islam, the West changed this standard.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the ubudiyyah, the being submission to Allah, they brought the pleasure
mm-hmm.
in the individual aspect. And the, instead of justice, they brought the interest,
yes.
the capital.
Yes.
So it was intrinsically against what Islam says.
Yes.
So Imam Khomeini, when he came, he was a challenge for West. Why? Because he, like with his own actions, with his speech, with his personality, I will say spiritual charm of his personality, he challenged these two aspects. That in the mid in the midst of the last century,
yes.
when the materialism was thinking that we just overcome the religion, and that's the chapter of religion okay. in the human society has been closed,
mm-hmm.
we see that person with such a spiritual charm and mm-hmm. such a call for justice
that's
and
right.
breaks the whole their plan of destroying religion in the human
yes.
Society. So he was a challenge for them.
That's right.
And no doubt that the justice and the virtue and these are the things, the freedom, these are
yes.
things that are personally, they are intrinsically attracted for all humans.
That's
so
right.
no doubt that the message of Imam was a message for whole humanity.
That's all right. Thank you very much. As Brother Sajjad Haidar said, the message of the late Imam Khomeini was the message for the whole humanity. He addressed the whole humanity, regardless of the color, of the race, of the language, of the ethnicity, or even denominational religion, you know. And this is important about the character of the late Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul and may he rest in peace, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Sajjad Haidar.
Mm-hmm.
for your presence in the program Viewpoints, and thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن.
In the limelight.
As the world marches decisively towards multipolarity, changes taking place globally are also influencing the internal political mechanisms of Western countries. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by the staff of Crescent International. This article is published under the heading Media Freedom at Risk, as Western regimes refuse to accept multipolarity. Stay tuned for more. As the world marches decisively towards multipolarity, changes taking place globally are also influencing the internal political mechanisms of Western countries. While supporting the most autocratic regimes abroad over several decades, most Western regimes display a sophisticated approach to managing matters internally. One of the spheres which stood out in stark contrast to policies pursued abroad was the way the media landscape was managed domestically. it is no secret that many political exiles from developing countries are forced to seek asylum in Western countries. The asylum-granting countries prop up the very regimes from where people are forced to flee. Many exiles also often set up media platforms and other organizations in host countries to project their point of view denied them at home. Why is supporting brutal regimes in places like Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the fake regime of Israel, Western regimes permit media organizations and platforms critical of those very regimes to operate? This allows Western regimes to whitewash their support for the most repressive and journalism-intolerant regimes abroad. Thus, NATO regimes are able to present themselves as freedom-loving champions of human rights. However, recent developments indicate that such methods of operation are in the process of undergoing a drastic shift. Over the past several months, news from Germany, Austria, and Britain signaled that the voices of exiled communities in the West may no longer enjoy the sophisticated veneer of media freedom presented by Western regimes. When viewing the troubling referenced news in isolation, this may be dismissed as three cases. However, the speed with which many independent countries' media outlets were cut off by Western establishments using the crudest of ways shows that there is a very real possibility that the much-touted freedom of speech and media is likely to be curtailed in most Western countries. Such clampdown may be seen partly as rational regression. Hitherto, many Western regimes could afford to allocate some operational space to alternative voices so long as Western political, economic, and military dominance continued globally. Russia's special operation in Ukraine and the West's complete failure to topple the governments in Syria, Venezuela, and other independent countries reflect a new global reality. Coupled with worsening economic conditions in many Western countries, the economic dominance of China and Washington's decline of influence in South America are signs of the eclipsing Western-dominated world order. As with all declining systems, Western powers, too, will likely resort to policies to try and maintain their global dominance. NATO's response to Vladimir Putin's demands prior to his launching military operations in Ukraine, the Western media's constant demonization of China, and the unconditional backing of the Zionist regime's aggression, along with many other pre-multipolar world order policies are clear signs that Western regimes are unwilling to accept the shifting global realities with grace. NATO policies in Europe, China, and Africa show that they will continue to rely primarily on brute force to maintain their global hegemony. The big question is, will they succeed?
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key. here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be examining a very delicate question, a very sensitive question regarding an event that has been narrated in some of the books of hadith and narrations. And it's also very famous. It's kind of mentioned on the pulpit by preachers and orators as a virtue and as an event that testifies to the virtue and fazilat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. In this tradition, in the way that this tradition has been mentioned, it's recounted that the Imam, he missed his prayers, or his prayers elapsed, and then the Imam prayed that the sun return from its state of setting and come back so that he could perform the prayers that he elapsed, that were missed by him and were elapsed. So this tradition, it seems to contradict the infallibility and immaculateness that we believe belongs to all of our A'imma alayhi salam, and especially Imam Ali, the foremost of the Imams and the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen. So how do we resolve this? At the same time, we do not want to deny this event because we would be denying one of the virtues of the A'imma alayhi salam. Some people, in order to reinforce the objection, they say that how could the Imam miss his prayers when even normal believers, a lot of them, they never miss one prayer in their entire life. How could we say that the Imam missed his prayer? In some of our previous sessions, we looked at one way in which we could answer this objection. It's based on referring to authentic and reliable sources in which this event has been narrated. Today, we're going to be looking at another way to answer it. And again, this is based on actually referring to the main sources in which this event has been recounted. This event is recounted in two ways in the books of traditions. We looked at one of the ways in our previous session. Today we're going to be looking in another way. After the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Imam alayhi salam was present in a city called Babel, and he wanted to pass from the river, the Euphrates, the Furat. Many of his companions were busy passing over this river and carrying their mounts and their wares over the river. The Imam and a group of his companions, they performed the afternoon prayers, the Asr prayers, in congregation. But some of his companions who were busy crossing over the Euphrates, they weren't able to pray, or they prayed, but they missed out on the rewards and the sawab of the congregational prayers. Because of this, once everybody had crossed the river, these companions, the second group of companions, who either missed their prayers or whose prayers were not performed in congregation, they came to the Imam and they expressed their concern over this matter. Imam Ali alayhi salam saw their concern. He prayed at this time that God return the sun back so that everybody, the people who had missed their prayers could pray, and those who had not prayed in congregation could pray in congregation. So as you can see, in this authentic narration, nothing is mentioned about, specifically about the Imam missing his prayers. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the event of the returning of the prayers and how it's related to, and whether it indicates that the Imam missed his prayers or not. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah the Kind. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to this program, Lantern, from IRIB English Radio. On the continuation of Lantern, we'll listen to an interesting story. There was once an ass whose master also owned a lap dog. This dog was a favorite and received many a pat and kind word from his master, as well as choice bits from his plate. Every day the dog would run to meet the master, frisking playfully about and leaping up to lick his hands and face. All this the ass saw with much discontent. Though he was well fed, he had much work to do, besides the master hardly ever took any notice of him. Now the jealous ass got it into his silly head that all he had to do to win his master's favor was to act like the dog. So one day he left his stable and clattered eagerly into the house. Finding his master seated at the dinner table, he kicked up his heels and with a loud bray pranked giddily around the table, upsetting it as he did so. Then he planted his forefeet on his master's knees and rolled out his tongue to lick the master's face, as he had seen the dog do. But his weight upset the chair, and ass and man rolled over together in the pile of broken dishes from the table. The master was much alarmed at the strange behavior of the ass, and calling for help soon attracted the attention of the servants. When they saw the danger the master was in from the clumsy beast, they set upon the ass and drove him with kicks and blows back to the stable. There they left him to mourn the foolishness that had brought him nothing but a sound bidding. Behavior that is regarded as agreeable in one is very rude and impertinent in another. Do not try to gain favor by acting in a way that is contrary to your own nature and character.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with being ourselves and not being dependent on other people. Those people who have received or who have developed in themselves deep-rooted personality, they are expected to exert much influence both on themselves and on the peers and on the communities. The greater personality, the greater a man, the greater a knowledgeable person, far wider would be the radius of his personality and influence. Imagine that, for example, there have been very important people in the whole history, for example, great mathematicians or great medical doctors or inventors and so on. We know that although many centuries, or even in some cases, more than 1,000 years have passed since the time those great personalities were alive, still the writings and the inventions are referred to with utmost respect. Imagine, for example, the contributions of Socrates to philosophy, or, for example, the findings of Galileo Galilei in physics, or, let's say, other figures, both ancient and new and modern. Now, you find that, all these personalities were those people who understood that they have to contribute to knowledge, they have to do something quite helpful to their own community and so on. The Holy Quran in this regard is eloquent and quite expressive. There's a kind of divine discourse or the divine piece of hadith in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the human beings and first and foremost Adam as the first ancestor of all human beings. خَلَقْتُ الْأَشْيَاءَ لِأَجْلِكَ وَخَلَقْتُكَ لِأَجْلِي. I've created everything for you, for your sake, and I've created you for the sake of mine. That is, interpreted in terms of our today vernacular, we can find that, everything, the whole universe has been created for the sake of human beings, and human beings have been created for the sake of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to contribute to life in this world, both physically and spiritually.
Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered all angels to prostrate themselves before Adam. Certainly, prostration should be done just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what kind of prostration was it? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order his angels to prostrate for one of the, to one of the several creatures Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created? It wasn't like this. It wasn't because of this. It was because of respecting the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been able to create something or someone who is capable of receiving divine instructions and divine guidance. And this object or this person or this staff or whatever you may name it, it's regarded as the token of God's creation. When the angels were ordered to prostrate themselves before Adam, it meant that all of them were ordered to pay practical respect to the job Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did at that time. It also indicates that in the in the genealogies of Adam, in the children of Adam, there would become some other personalities that would come out. There would come up some other personalities who deserve being respected quite a lot and who are deserved to be regarded as the tokens of the divine grandeur. Imagine that in the progenies of Adam, you can find the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the top-ranking human being in the whole creation as such, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that, I've created the whole universe for the sake of you. At that time, at the time of the creation of Adam and Eve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time never created the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the shape of a human being. Yet, as it was expected of Adam, that in whose progeny such a great personality like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would certainly be born in the distant future, by that time all angels were ordered to show the respect, to show the adoration by means of prostrating themselves before Adam. It was, a kind of prostration that meant to accept, to admit the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that this personality, such a personality who regards himself as respectable enough to be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to worship Satan, not to live a wrong life, or, for example, a meaningless life, such a personality certainly deserves being respected.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ana bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub.
In the limelight. Ryan Kelly, a Republican gubernatorial candidate in Michigan, hoping to unseat Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer, is embracing his recent arrest for his alleged role in last year's 6th of January Capitol riot. The article you're about to hear has been written by Newsweek journalist Andrew Stanton. The article has been published by Newsweek magazine and is titled Ryan Kelly boasts FBI arrest over January 6th, helping his Michigan governor bid. Ryan Kelly, a Republican gubernatorial candidate in Michigan, hoping to unseat Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer, is embracing his recent arrest for his alleged role in last year's January 6th Capitol riot. Ryan Kelly, one of several candidates hoping to challenge Gretchen Whitmer in November, was arrested on Thursday morning by the FBI for allegedly being involved in the riot when hundreds of Donald Trump's supporters attacked the Capitol building in an effort to disrupt the formal certification of President Joe Biden's Electoral College victory. Ryan Kelly faces charges of being present on restricted grounds at the Capitol complex and participating in disorderly conduct, but is not accused of actually entering the building. However, he is accused of helping rioters break down barricades around the federal legislative building. Back on the campaign trail, Ryan Kelly is now leaning into the arrest while meeting with voters that he hopes to win the support of ahead of state's 2nd of August primary. While speaking to voters in Clare County, he acknowledged the exposure the arrest has brought to his campaign, Michigan Live reported. "If you didn't know my name a couple of days ago, you certainly know it now," he said. "So there's been a tremendous amount of exposure there, and we'll see what happens in the coming weeks with the case." Several voters also told the news outlet that his arrest bolstered their support. Opinion polls have found many GOP voters have defended the Capitol rioters as not being particularly violent and protecting democracy, even as most Americans overall disagree. A 29-year-old man named Lucas told Michigan Live, "He stood up for what he believed in. It's hard to knock something like that." Ryan Kelly also boasted about the support the arrest had brought his campaign during an appearance on the conservative news show The War Room. "This is just bringing in a millionfold, the support across this country. People from all over are reaching out in support. My support in Michigan has tenfold grown," he said. "They just handed me the governor's seat in Michigan." He added that his arrest is similar to the backlash he received from participating in a protest at Michigan State House in April of 2020 over COVID-19 restrictions because authorities don't like it that he is standing up for what he believes in, adding that he is not going to be intimidated. Polling on the GOP primary remains scarce after leading candidate James Craig was disqualified from the ballot last month. But a Target Insight opinion poll showed Ryan Kelly leading other candidates, winning 15% of the vote, though nearly half of the poll's respondents said they were still undecided, according to Deadline Detroit late last month. Video from 6th of January allegedly shows Ryan Kelly shouting, "This is war," while moving towards the Capitol building. In an interview with Michigan Live last year, he described the riot as energizing. FBI agents arrested Michigan Republican gubernatorial candidate Ryan Kelly last Thursday morning for allegedly participating in the Capitol attack on 6th of January 2021. Prosecutors said that Kelly is facing four misdemeanor charges stemming from the January 6, 2021 Capitol breach, ABC News reported. He was set to appear in court. Court documents don't show that Ryan Kelly is accused of entering the Capitol building, but he is facing charges for being present on restricted grounds at the Capitol complex and for participating in disorderly conduct, among other counts. The FBI reportedly received multiple tips that led to the Republican candidate's arrest, including one that was sent 10 days after 6th of January 2021, according to the arrest affidavit. The tips included video clips and images of Ryan Kelly at the Capitol riot. The arrest came in the midst of an ongoing public hearing held by the House Select Committee investigating the events of 6th of January 2021. The House Select Committee plans to reveal its findings of the months-long investigation that includes evidence entailing over 1,000 interviews, official documents, photographs, and texts.
This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Today's tip: what is the result of worship that is conducted for the sake of Allah with a pure and happy content heart when it comes to our ubudiyah, our servitude to Allah.
Allah, Allahu Rabbi, la sharika lahu.
So, dear friends, we are talking about this idea that what will come about when we conduct our worship and we conduct our ubudiyah, whether it is our du'as or our supplications, with a pure heart, with a pure intention, and with a content and happy heart. Now, of course, as we had said in certain previous programs, when we do our worship with a pure intention and with a pure heart, with a soul that is tranquil and at ease, with eagerness, with zest, wanting to do these prayers, then the result will be positive when it comes to our spirituality and our ubudiyah to Allah. Such kind of worship will bring luminosity to the heart, and the inside and the depths of the soul will react, and they will change, and the image of servitude, the image of ubudiyah, will become ingrained within the inner heart and the depths of the heart. And as we have said, that the aim of worship is that the depths of the soul and the depths of the heart should become this very image of servitude, this image of ubudiyah. But in order for a luminosity to be created in the heart, and in order for the soul to react, and in order, of course, for the image of ubudiyah and servitude to be ingrained and written upon the depths of the heart and the depths of the soul, we must do our ubudiyah and our worship and our du'as and our litanies and our dhikr, our remembrance of Allah and our tasbih, our glorification of Allah, with a pure heart and with a pure intention and with eagerness and with this cheerfulness of heart and soul, wanting to be of service in the ubudiyah to Allah.
Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Mannan,
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
Ya Allah, ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina.
أجب دعائي يا رجائي بالرضا والخير أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير.
Allah is the unique Arabic name for the one true God. He is the only one worthy of worship, with no rivals, equals, or partners. Allah is not like His creation, as nothing shares His divine essence and attributes, such as being the Creator, the Provider, the Most Merciful, the All-Powerful, the Most Just, the All-Wise, and the All-Knowing. Allah is without partner or equal in His authority and actions. The world was created by Allah's command alone. He runs the world and controls it all alone. Muslims believe that Allah is one, indivisible, and unequal in His divinity and knowledge. He does not have any ancestors, nor does He have descendants, and He is without wife, partner, or offspring. None came before Him, and He is in no need of any angel, prophet, or saint.